From the magnificent Midwest, it's the Suzanne Venker Show, where men and women are equal in value but wildly different by nature. Join us here every week as we challenge the culture's hugely flawed narratives about men, women, sex, and love. From coast to coast and from around the world, thank you for joining us. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So I'm not sure if I've mentioned that I've become kind of obsessed with pickleball. I don't think I have. To the point where I'm mapping out my work schedule according to my pickleball schedule. That's how obsessed I am. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because I am learning the significance of nonverbal communication in sports, which is kind of funny because I've talked a fair amount about nonverbal communication in relationships, but experiencing it with sports is kind of new to me because I never really played competitive sports when I was young. So it's super fascinating to notice how much nonverbal communication goes on in sports. I mean, you have facial gestures, eye contact, undertones in the way we speak, and the sound of our voices. There's fidgeting, posture. There's just a whole way of communicating without our ever opening our mouths. And this got me to thinking about what it's like to be a baby. Because, of course, babies can't talk. But that doesn't mean they can't communicate. And that doesn't mean that we can't communicate with them. And unfortunately, in the world we live in today, there's just very little awareness or attention paid to what's actually going on in the life of a baby or in the early years of life. Really, not just the first three, but the first five, honestly. It's a very tender time. And the only folks who are really privy to this information, in my opinion, are those who either study child development and really get what's going on there, or who are or were home with their babies on a full-time basis to observe how this development unfolds. And I think everyone else is pretty much in the dark. It's almost like a subculture. There's those who are in the know on this topic and those who aren't. But it's my belief that the folks who are knowledgeable have a duty to share what they know about these early years because most people become parents, right? And it seems obvious that it's much more important for them to have this information than to not have it. And I don't even know where, again, short of studying it, I don't even know where you would ever hear this in society, in the culture at all. Sort of cracking a book and just sitting down and reading. And most parents don't do that. So to that end, I want to talk about what it's like behind the scenes of being a stay-at-home mom. I wish I could kind of corral all the moms at home and just tap into that knowledge and get that out into the world. And I can't really do it in that way. So that's why I'm doing this. This is really a heads up and some attention focused on this group, this very, very overlooked group that we never hear from. I've always hated the label stay-at-home mom because it doesn't in any way capture the reality of life at home with very young children. It's true that after a woman becomes a mother, she finds herself much more homebound. But she's not just happily hanging out there while her babies and toddlers play at her feet. The amount of work that goes on in these early years is mind-blowing, especially when you have more than one child. And that's the frustrating thing about motherhood. It's the most elusive, it may be the most important job in the world. We give lip service to that, although it is, truly. But it's also the most elusive profession in the world. It's the one job for which we cannot see the work as it's being done, nor can we assess our progress. In other words, it's impossible to quantify this work the way we do our paid jobs, largely because what goes on, or what goes into, I should say, building trust and confidence, which is so much of what these years are about, is invisible to the naked eye. Every mother at home knows how futile it is to convey to those who've never done this work what their days are like. I can just imagine at-home mothers watching this right now and going, 100% I've been in that boat. A woman who doesn't have children, for example, could easily sit with a group of mothers and kids and watch as the mothers wipe away a few tears or change a few diapers and wonder what could be so hard about motherhood. where she could observe a mother casually walking her baby in a stroller and conclude that nothing much is really going on between mom and baby. What she will not understand or appreciate is what takes place behind the scenes when no one else is looking. If you're not at home with your baby every day on a full-time basis, it is impossible to understand exactly how a baby gains a feeling of self-worth by hearing your voice and seeing your face throughout the day in the same manner within the same routine. It's impossible to understand the effect of your presence as he climbs a step and turns to see if you're there before he moves to the next one. It's impossible to appreciate a baby's ability to make connections between what you say and what you do and how this leads to his intellectual growth. It's impossible to understand how you're being there to encourage him to keep trying each time he thinks he can't do something will help mold the person he will later become. Those who are not there every day to see exactly how mothering works can never truly appreciate its value. That's why I'm doing this video, because I don't think people have any idea what mothers at home are really accomplishing, and they should. People need to understand the significance of what's happening when mothers or fathers, if that's the case, stay home. If people were educated on this subject, this would in turn create more respect for this role and even cause men to become more supportive when their wives want to stay home, which is the topic that I covered in last week's episode, if you missed that. Unfortunately, for the past four decades, we've viewed this work not as crucial, but as expendable, something that just anyone can do. Hence our reliance on daycare, and hence some men's reluctance to support their wives staying home. That all has to do with a vision that we have or a mindset about these years that is just manifestly wrong. And we didn't have this in the past. People understood the significance in the past. But the dismissal today of this can only be shared by people who have no knowledge or personal experience with the day in and day out care of an infant. And Americans are repeatedly subject to the garbage that gets doled out in the media by these folks who have absolutely no idea about the early years. And I'm going to give you just one example. I'm going to have you listen to a 5-second clip. Some of you know that I'm an avid Dave Ramsey listener. And while I listen faithfully because I love hearing all the call-ins, I find them entertaining and they're very informative for my work, actually. Every other week or so, I'm forced to listen to the wildly off-the-mark advice that Dave and his personalities dole out to parents of young children because they view paying off debt to be more important, basically, than staying home in the early years. So that if somebody calls in with that question about which thing to do and they're in debt, the answer for them is always going to be, to pay off debt. And in order to say that, they have to be able to say something about those early years. So here's a clip from one of his personalities. This one happens to be Ken Coleman. I don't know if you guys are listeners of Dave Ramsey. He's got a handful of personalities and they pretty much all toe the line and will say what Dave says when it comes to this subject. I mean, I hear it repeatedly and it makes me nuts. So this is just one little example.
Wait.
Yeah.
The baby doesn't know when you're there. They don't know. They're not going to remember that. It's like you're a bad father.
He happened to be talking to a dad there, but most of the time they're telling that to the moms. And it's very difficult for me. I mean, I keep hearing it over and over and over again and keep saying I've got to do a show on this because it's making me crazy. But instead, I'm just giving you a little taste of that mindset is not just shared on his program. This really isn't about Dave Ramsey's program. It's just an example of the mindset that goes into people, many people in the media, in the messaging that they dole out about the early years. So in this particular case, this idea that humans are not affected by what they can't remember. Well, your baby's not going to remember whether you're home or not. That's basically what he's saying, is an incredibly dangerously false statement. Few of us remember the earliest years of our lives, but that has nothing to do with the significance of those years on our emotional development. And it is here where mothers play a crucial role. Babies need constant nurturing in the early years. They're completely helpless and utterly dependent on their mothers, not just to feed them and to change their diapers. So many people think that this is all that goes on during this stage, and they could not be more wrong. This is the time when human beings learn to bond with other humans. Literally. I mean, think about it. Up to the point of birth, babies are alone. They're alone in utero. So imagine how scary and weird, say that right. Imagine how scary and weird the world, that's what I was trying to say, must look when he enters the world. Knowing that he's safe, that he feels safe, is critical to his development. And this bonding process is a very slow, hour by hour, day to day task that occurs over time. We can't rush this process and wind up with the same result. When parents try to skip the various stages that children need to develop properly, two main things generally happen. One is that the child doesn't learn how to cope well with stress. And two, his ability to trust others is greatly weakened. It is during these early years when a child determines whether or not he can count on someone to be there for him, both physically and emotionally. And if the child determines that it can't do this for whatever reason, and there can be more than one reason why a parent isn't available to his child, or a mother specifically isn't available to her child, it isn't just being there physically, but that's kind of a prerequisite. This can have lifelong consequences on his ability to trust and to connect with other people. This is the delicate nature of these early years that nobody wants to talk about because it's just fraught with politics. I truly believe that the main reason that there's no longer any recognition of the significance of these early years is that we have sped up so quickly in the adult world that we have no patience for how slowly children think, move, and develop. I mean, think about it. Adult life used to be a lot slower, and this was very conducive to children's needs. So it was easier to meet them back in the day when we moved more slowly. But over time, we kept accelerating the pace because of progress and technology. I get it. We've accelerated the pace at which we live, but we essentially ignored the fact that children cannot come along for that ride, not without negative consequences. Because we may change and society may change, but children don't, and their needs don't. Every single one of their activities, walking, dressing, if you've ever, I mean, everybody of a, you know, every parent of a young child or baby knows this. Walking, dressing, eating, bathing, playing, talking, learning, it's all excruciatingly slow for us. But it's normal for them. And ignoring this and trying to bring them along on our ride amounts to forcing them to skip a crucial developmental stage. I mean, we give no thought, for instance, to waking babies who are sleeping from their cribs to get them to daycare in time for work. In part, I believe, literally, because parents don't know that babies' brains are growing while they sleep. No one told them this. How would they know? It truly is ignorance that's driving this entire debate and conversation, in my opinion. It's not callousness. I don't think that at all. I think it's absolute and complete ignorance because nobody ever tells people what's going on in these early years, again, which is why I'm doing this video. And it's not just the first 5 years that matter. The speed with which we're moving is just as bad for older kids. We're shuffling them from school to activity as though they're in our way and we need a place to put them because we're just too busy working all the time. We think boredom for children is a bad thing when in fact, actually that's when the best ideas form. Boredom's like a developmental stage in and of itself. Something that we could all probably benefit from. We also, most importantly, don't feed our children healthy meals the way we used to because we're too busy. And we don't talk to them, I mean, really talk, because we're too tired to give them our undivided attention. But still, we wrinkle our eyebrows and we wonder, what is wrong with kids today? Why are they not doing well in school? Why are they overweight? Why are they sleep deprived? Why are they disrespectful? Why are they spoiled? Why do they have so many mental health problems? We simply refuse to connect the dots between the problems that exist among today's children and the fact that mothers aren't home. I don't know what we thought all those mothers in the past were doing, but you could certainly ask any stay-at-home mom today, and she will tell you. That's all I've got for today. And I'll see you next week. And that ends this hour of the Suzanne Venker Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and to leave us a review, as well as share this episode with a friend. As always, you may reach me with any questions or comments at Suzanne@thesuzannevenkershow.com. And if you would like to support this podcast, which would be very much appreciated, you can do so at patreon.com/thesuzannevenkershow. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.